Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wanek, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special teaching, You've Already Got It, was recorded at the 2013 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
I don't know how many of you remember all the spiritual warfare. Praise God, it's kind of on a wane in the body of Christ today. But man, there used to be spiritual warfare conferences where we had to clear a hole in the heavens over Phoenix so that we could get our prayers up to God. We had demons that were blocking our prayers, and there was a closed heaven, and we needed an open heaven. Any of you remember this? And you know, they would use Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10, and it's true that there was a demonic power that kept his prayer for being answered for 21 days. But what they're missing is that in the new covenant, Jesus rent the heavens, came down, Satan has been stripped of all of his power. There are not demons over Phoenix that are blocking our prayers from getting out to God. Now, there are demons in Phoenix, and I believe that there are principalities and powers over Phoenix. I'm not denying that they exist. But I'm saying this whole concept that you got to get your prayers up to heaven shows that people don't believe that God moved down here and that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in us bodily. We'll say things like, that prayer didn't get above the ceiling. You don't need your prayer to get above your nose. That's the reason you bow your head when you pray, is so that you can look at God. Say, Father. This whole thing about trying to get our prayers up to God shows how much religious traditions we have and all of this stuff. Nothing's blocking your prayers from God except your unbelief, thinking that, oh God, I prayed and you haven't moved yet. That's because he moved 2,000 years ago and you haven't believed it yet. And you're asking him to move and heal you when the truth is he healed you 2,000 years ago. He put this raising from the dead power on the inside of you, and you haven't spoken to your mountain. You hadn't spoken to the problem. You're speaking to God and begging him to do what he told you to do. Most people don't like this because, you know what? It puts a lot of responsibility on you, and it makes you accountable. Instead of saying, well, I'm waiting on God, and I don't know why God hadn't answered my prayer. And people will say things like, I'm angry at God. God didn't come through. I tell you, every time I hear something like that, I just want to drop kick that person right off the planet. You think God hasn't answered your prayer. God anticipated your needs. He's already supplied and given you your answer. Before you ever got sick, you were already healed. And God put raising from the dead power on the inside of you. And if you haven't seen healing come, it's not because God hadn't given it. It's because you don't believe it's there. You haven't learned how to release it. And I'm not saying that to condemn you, but it does put responsibility upon us. If you die sick, God's not the one who let you die. It was you that didn't know how to appropriate what God did. Thank you for that one amen. And people don't like this because, you know what? This takes away excuses and it makes us accountable. And man, it's so much easier to say, well, I just prayed, now it's up to God. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. If I get healed, it must have been God's will. And if I don't get healed, then God must be trying to teach me something. That's not true. Look back in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul begins to pray a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. Actually, it's verse 15 here. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he begins to pray a prayer. Let me just point this out before we read this. That if you were praying a prayer for somebody, let's say that somehow or another you were writing down things that you knew were going to become scripture and you were going to pray for people 2,000 years in advance. How would you pray for them? What would you pray? I can tell you, based on my interaction with people and going to churches and hearing people pray many, many times over, it would be something like this. Oh God, we ask you to just pour out your spirit. God, do a new thing. Move, send revival, touch them. It would all be pleading with God to do something for these people. That's the way that the body of Christ prays, as if we have nothing. Again, I mentioned this earlier, but I have people come and say, oh, you know, I can't do anything. I am nothing. I have nothing. Would you please pray for me? No, I won't pray for you like that, because you've already entered into unbelief. You are discounting yourself. You're speaking that you are nobody, you have no power, and that you are just begging and pleading and hoping maybe I can do something for you. You're just baptized in unbelief. What I'll do is try and talk to you and show you who you are in Christ. We don't need to plead and say, oh God, send revival, and oh God, pour out your spirit, and oh God, move, and oh God, touch this person, and oh God, save them. And you know, everything I'm criticizing tonight, I've done it. And so I'm not trying to be hard on anybody. I'm just trying to get my point across. But when I first got really turned on to the Lord, I started studying revival. I heard people talk about revival, and I started all-night prayer meetings. And I remember one time praying, and we prayed all night long. We would pray 10 hours a lick, pleading with God to pour out His Spirit. And I remember hearing myself say this. I said, God, if you love the people of Arlington, Texas, half as much as I do, we'd have revival. When I said that, I thought, something's wrong here. But really, that's what most intercessors do. They think God, if it wasn't for their great intercession, He'd let everybody go to hell. Nobody would get healed. Nothing would happen. God doesn't care. It's us, and we make God move. We're telling God, turn from your fierce wrath and repent. That's what Moses said in Exodus chapter 32. And it was appropriate for Moses, because Jesus hadn't come and satisfied the wrath of God. But it's inappropriate for us to pray that way today. Jesus has ended God's wrath against us. God has already provided everything. God's power is already on the inside of you. If you don't see God's power moving in your life, it's not time for you to beg and plead with God. It's time for you to renew your mind and begin to take the power and the authority that God has given you and resist that thing. Speak against it. Fight. And the devil will flee from you. You have power. God has given you raising from the dead power. That's what he goes on to say. His prayer here is totally different than the way most of us would pray about, oh God, move, oh God, pour out your spirit. Instead, he's saying, God, show them what they have. Show them what you've already done. Open up their eyes. Help them to see what they've already got. It's a totally different approach than what the body of Christ has taken today. The body of Christ believes God can do anything. He has done nothing, but he could do it if we would just pray and beg and plead hard enough. I'm here to tell you that God's already done his part. If you need to get saved tonight, God doesn't have to go to the cross and die for you. He did it 2,000 years ago. He's already paid for your sins. Your sins are paid for. Your sins are forgiven. If you need to get saved tonight, you don't need to ask God, oh God, would you please die for me? Would you please forgive my sins? All you got to do is reach out and receive what was done for you 2,000 years ago. Healing is the exact same thing. If you need to be healed, he's already healed you, and he's already placed on the inside of every one of you raising from the dead power. And if you need to be healed, all you got to do is believe and release what's on the inside of you instead of trying to get God to do something that he hasn't done. It is so much easier to get something that you already have than it is to go get something that you don't have. If you've already got it, you may not know exactly how to get it or how to lay your hand on it, but if you know you've got it, you'll keep searching, you'll do something, and you'll see it come to pass. But if you don't really believe you've already got it, then you'll give token effort, and then when things don't work out, you'll wonder why God hasn't moved. It's not God that hasn't moved. It's us that doesn't know how to believe God. So here's Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. In verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. If you go back to the first part of this chapter, you'll find out that he's already abounded towards us in wisdom. So actually, he's already given us wisdom. We just have to appropriate it. It's all there. We just have to stir it up and activate it. And then he says in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. His inheritance is in the saints. It's not out there. If you had to replace, if for some reason or another, what you have in Christ when you get born again could be stolen or evaporate, and if it had to be replaced, it would bankrupt heaven to replace what's on the inside of you. The glory of God indwells every born-again believer. The riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. What is inside of us right here makes what's in heaven pale in comparison. The glory of God is in us. It's not out there someplace. It's in us. And then he says in verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe?" According to, the word according to means to the proportion of or to the degree of the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world to come, and has given us all of his power. And we are his body. All of this is under our feet. This says that he's praying that God would open up our eyes to help us see the exceeding greatness of his power towards us, the same power that he used when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You have raising from the dead power on the inside of you.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on You've Already Got It. This five-part series was recorded at the 2013 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar, and it's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM255 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify CD or DVD. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
This is Andrew Womack, and I'd like to encourage you to join with me and help get this gospel out to the world. You know, if these radio programs have been a blessing to you, then I would encourage you to pray about becoming a partner with us. You know, it's only our partners that enable us to do what we do. There's lots of people that give to cover the cost of materials that they get. There's people that give one time. But if it wasn't for our monthly partners, we would not be able to minister the way we do. And this is scriptural. The Bible says that if you've been fed spiritually, that you should give back financially. So I encourage you, if you've been blessed by this radio ministry, to pray about becoming a partner with us and then call today and join up and become a Gospel Truth partner.